Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Ecclesiastes is the name of an Old Testament book, and a book that's all too often dismissed in our Bible studies. Yet, its themes are age-lasting, and its principles are unchanging, in fact, unchangeable. And although written so many years ago, it speaks to our day, it is applicable to our lives, and is as true now as when originally penned by the inspired writer. The theme of Ecclesiastes is, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now this may sound so pessimistic and cynical, but really it is not. It is not only realistic, but calls for us to focus attention on things that really matter and really count the most. Vanity simply means here is something without substance, is fleeting in value. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 2, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. In Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 8, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Well, that's the theme of Ecclesiastes. And this is repeated in various forms nearly 30 times throughout this book. Now, it is not saying that there is no value to anything, but there is that which is most valuable, which commends our attention. The design of the writer is to affirm and to demonstrate the futility of all earthly efforts and worldly pursuits and temporal pleasures, as if that was the means to supply mankind with the enduring happiness and blessedness before God for which people of every age have yearned, and for which those of our own time spend much time and energy and talent in order to attain, but usually in futile ways. The writer makes his point that man needs God. And to prove this by inspiration, he uses his experiences and those of others. But he does not simply expose the false sources of happiness, but he also directs his readers to the unfailing fount of what is good. The writer is called the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Well, who else could this be but Solomon? Solomon comes toward the close of his very eventful career after he has drunk freely of worldly things. If happiness could be obtained that way, he would surely possess it. But he shows that such pursuits have failed him. Now, he identifies himself as the preacher. That's the meaning of the word Ecclesiastes. He makes clear his aim is to teach knowledge and many proverbs with the theme, I thought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of man, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2. And then he proceeds to tell us what he has learned. Is wisdom the way to happiness? Now Solomon experimented to discover happiness in the exercise of wisdom and much knowledge. He said, however, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled all the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, 1 Kings chapter 4. And Solomon then wrote in Ecclesiastes 1, I communed with mine own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Well, his knowledge embraced facts and the details of his day. Plus, he knew people, he knew their hopes, their longings, their fears, their anxieties, and commanded an unusual perception of life. Solomon sometimes used his exceptional abilities to the glory of God. Too often, however, it was to find happiness apart from the true source of wisdom and knowledge, and he failed in this. Some today contend that education is the answer to all problems. But we ask, education in what? Education that advances the causes of unhappiness makes happiness less likely. Knowledge is valuable only as a means to an end. It can be a blessing or it can be a curse, depending upon what knowledge you have and how you use it. To seek knowledge for the sake of just knowing, as did the Athenians in Acts chapter 17, that produces no good. Many well-informed people are unhappy. Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 18, "For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow." Well, Solomon then turned his heart toward material possessions of extreme extravagance and abundance. Oh, he had ample opportunity to test wealth as a source of happiness. He possessed great works and vineyards and gardens and orchards and baths. He had servants and cattle, silver and gold and entertainers, and all the trappings of luxury and riches. Well, did it supply his needs? Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 11, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." So many have never learned, Luke 12 and verse 15, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things he possesseth." In fact, Colossians 3, 5, covetousness is idolatry. And so many dissipate their lives in the quest of happiness through earthly gain. Now, while the Lord knows that we have need of material things, he warns against putting such things as that first in our lives, Matthew 6, 33. "And we cannot serve God and mammon," Matthew 6, 24. Some of the happiest and most contented people on this earth have relatively little materially, and some of the most miserable live with abundance materially. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, or he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity." And the church in Laodicea confused their wealth with acceptance before God, Revelation 3 and verse 17. Well, how about prominence and power and prestige to bring us happiness? Well, Solomon sought and he acquired all these things, great notoriety among men. He had fame and popularity and position. He enjoyed acceptance from others. But Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you," Luke 6, 26. How pitiable is the person who makes such things his goal in life. Some turned from Jesus because they loved the praises of men, John chapter 12. Well, these things are born of pride and egotism, a craving for the limelight, getting attention, receiving the plaudits of others. The fame of Solomon spread throughout the world. When he was visited by the Queen of Sheba, she remarked that the half was not told. But are the famous necessarily happy? All of this proved to be bitter gall to Solomon, and he was laboring for the wind with no profit. Jesus taught in Luke 14 and verse 11, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Now, while many seek to grow in fame and to be popular, actually, the way up begins by going down. Fame and popularity are so fleeting, and seeking such is as if you were striving for the wind. So many who claim celebrity status, they are miserable. And Solomon proved that such is vanity. Well, does sin bring happiness? There was no desire, no folly, no immorality, no fleshly indulgence that Solomon did not give himself. He sought happiness through forbidden and sinful pleasures. Did it bring him the happiness that he wanted and that he needed? Many today are deceived to think that gratification of the flesh and sexual indulgence brings happiness. They use illicit sexual conduct and drugs and gambling and drunkenness, thrills of one sort or another, but it never does bring the happiness that one seeks. Moses made a wise choice, recorded in Hebrews 11, choosing rather to suffer affliction than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Friend, ultimately sin only produces sorrows and ruined lives, immeasurable sorrow because of the magnitude of grief that ultimately is produced by sinful living. And the final wages of sin is separation from God, Romans 6:23. Are we wise to seek happiness with the temporal pleasures that bring us to hell? Why, such has not been, it is not now, and it never will be, the avenue to happiness. Now, Solomon is not teaching that all knowledge and wisdom is evil. He was not anti-intellectual. Nor does he teach that all wealth and fame and pleasure is sinful, even though the desire for and the acquisition of such things often brings sin into the lives of those who seek them. But his lesson is that such things do not produce the sustained happiness for which we yearn. They do not fulfill life's purposes. They cannot bring the blessedness before God or satisfy the longings and the needs of the soul. As the book of Ecclesiastes said, all is vanity in that respect. And since these things do not bring what of true value, because they don't and won't and can't, well, what does? So we now turn our attention to what may well be the most profitable lesson that we can learn from Ecclesiastes, a book that exposes the folly of seeking happiness through faulty means. Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. A holy and reverent respect for God, alongside an unquestioning obedience to his will, in view of the inevitable judgment before God, that's what really matters. Life without God is meaningless. Physical death terminates the worldly pursuits, but God provides forgiveness and guidance and purpose, and all his commandments are for our good. Blessed is that person who has partaken of the divine knowledge and wisdom, whose wealth is spiritual wealth, who seeks favor with God above that of men, who finds his pleasure in living and serving God according to God's infallible directions. Truly, that is the happy person, that's the contented person. And we each must face life, and physical death cannot be avoided. We must consider these things fairly and squarely. To fulfill our purpose and enjoy the greatest joy of life, we must realize what our mission really is. Our purpose is not just to have knowledge and wisdom and wealth and fame and acceptance and all the rest. We're here to glorify God by being his kind of person. And once learning our mission from God's Word, it is also from God's Word we learn how to accomplish that mission. Ecclesiastes teaches that lasting joy is with God. And this necessarily points us to the Christ, because it is by him and by him alone that we come to the Father. Friend, if you would find happiness here and eternally, follow the path of righteousness that God has provided, and you shall have everything that matters now and forever. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.